morning. It's good to be with you this morning, and it's a great opportunity to come together on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord. I'm glad that you're here, and appreciate the presence of each and every one of you, and if you're visiting, we're grateful for your presence as well. We'll be reviewing this morning our Vacation Bible School that we had this past week, and the young people were studying the meekness of Moses, and so we're going to be looking at that this morning, and I hope that our study will be helpful and profitable to all. We live in a world today where many people are being taught to be assertive. You can be assertive in a good way, but I'm talking about being assertive in a bad way. I'm talking about someone who is outwardly pushy and maybe even physically yelling or physically violent or asserting themselves in ways that are ungodly. And that's very popular today. But that's not what God wants in our lives. And it seems like over the past 25 years or so, not to isolate our female population this morning by any means or embarrass anyone or call them out in any way, but it just seems like to me, in our culture, among those who have been most assertive are females. It seems like women and young girls are being taught and trained to be more assertive. And I don't mean by that, for example, women holding jobs that men used to hold. I don't mean that. I don't mean, for example, women in the military or women in high corporate positions. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I mean. I mean physically being assertive, yelling and screaming, and you'll see this in social media and other places where young girls and women feel like they have to prove their point by yelling in someone's face or being physically violent. It seems like that wasn't the case decades ago, but today it is. And our young girls here this morning need to be careful about that kind of thing. And mothers need to train them not to be that kind of way. Back around the year 2000, I was doing some substitute teaching at Springfield High School over in Robertson County. And one day, two girls got in a fight in the hallway, and I made the mistake of trying to break up the fight. I thought that as an adult, you're supposed to step in and stop that kind of thing. Well, I got scratched several times, and when the whole thing was said and done, the principal talked with me, and he said, I want to tell you two things. First of all, don't break up a fight, which was contrary to the way I was raised, contrary to the way I was thinking. He said, don't break up a fight. Let them go at it, and when they get done, we'll take care of it, which is counter to my thinking, but I said, okay. And then the second thing he said was, he said, Chris, you'd be very surprised. In this high school, the ones that get in the fights the most are the girls. And it just seems like that there is in our culture this attitude of assertiveness. And it shows itself in many ways. We may not get in a fight or, you know, scratch someone else or poke somebody else's eye out, but what is our attitude when we deal with things, especially if it's something controversial or stressful? How is our approach to that? Do we have meekness? Do we have meekness? This past week, we studied the meekness of Moses. And meekness, Roger mentioned this Friday night in his talk, meekness is not weakness. Don't get in your mind this morning that if you're a meek individual, you're just this puny little scrawny individual that's not strong in any kind of way. Meekness has nothing to do with physical strength in any kind of way. In fact, inwardly, it's the opposite. We are strong inwardly, but we're in control. The word means a mildness or a gentleness. I'm also seeing in social media today, you'll see these various videos where if there's some little discussion, it's you're in your face and you're yelling and you're poking and pushing somebody, and it's this outwardly angry, assertive disposition, and whoever can yell the loudest kind of wins. And we've got to get back to this principle. It's a fruit of the Spirit, meekness. We've got to be mild and gentle, even in the face of differences and challenges. We're actually very strong mentally and in our mind and in our heart. We're very strong and we're in control of our faculties. We're not out of control. And ultimately, in a Bible setting, it means that we have a humble submission to God's will. Brethren, my fear is that if someone is being raised on this assertive attitude when they're young, when they grow up, they're going to be poking their finger at God. That's my fear. And I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. I don't have to follow the Bible. I don't have to go by what you say. And so I'm concerned that the assertiveness that is displayed physically in a younger person when they grow up, it's going to be displayed in their attitude toward God, and they're in big trouble then. We need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And in our scripture reading in Numbers chapter 12, that Moses is described as the meekest man in all of the earth. And so we want to look at this meekness, being someone who is of a humble submission to the will of God. Now keep in mind, like I said, meekness is not physical weakness. It's not someone who's this puny, mousy person who gets bowled over and rolled over every time something comes along. It has nothing to do with strength one way or the other. This man right here, he could be one of the meekest men today. You're not going to beat him up, but he's meek. He could be meek. It has nothing to do with strength one way or the other. Now, I thought about using a picture of myself. I was going to use a picture of myself. But when I saw this picture, I thought, well, that'll do, so I'll just use that. Don't get in your mind some puny, mousy little person when you think of the word meekness. Okay? We're actually going to see that inwardly it is a very strong person. It took strength for Moses to lead Israel. Can you imagine the things that he underwent? In fact, look at your scripture reading again in Numbers chapter 12. What does the very first verse say when Aaron and Miriam spoke against him? This is one of many, many times in which Moses had to deal with problems, including his own family. And we're going to look at Jesus this morning in the cleansing of the temple. Okay, do not get in your mind some mousy, puny little person. Meekness. Meekness is humble submission to God's will. On Monday evening, Moses learned meekness in the early part of his life. Tuesday evening, we looked at his meekness in being submissive to God's call to lead Israel out of Egypt. In Wednesday night, meekness in meeting the various challenges along the way. That material Wednesday evening dealt with Exodus 5 through 15, from the beginning of the plagues up to the crossing of the Red Sea. That material did not even include all of the problems of the wilderness wandering in the book of Numbers. So much more was there. So many more challenges. Thursday evening, his meekness that was displayed in confronting the golden calf in Exodus chapter 32. And Friday evening, the meekness that he displayed in accepting his punishment because he sinned and struck the rock rather than speaking to it, and he was not allowed to go into Canaan land. so many ups and downs in his life, and he humbly submitted to the Lord's will. That's our lesson this morning. So what I want to do this morning is, I want to just briefly touch on Moses, but I want us to look at the New Testament passages on meekness this morning and tie that in with the life of Moses. First of all, on Monday evening, the young people learned about Moses in Exodus chapter 1 and 2, how that he learned and developed and cultivated meekness during his 40 years in Egypt and his 40 years as a shepherd in the land of Midian. He was preparing himself to submit to the will of God. He had to learn that it is about God's word and will in my life. For example, in Exodus chapter 2, I can't just strike an Egyptian if I want to. That's not how God's going to deliver the people. He's not going to do it that way. He's going to deliver my people a different way. So he had to learn and cultivate and develop early on. And young people here this morning, I would encourage you to develop that as early as possible. And parents with our young children, develop in your children this humble, submissive attitude, not only in life in general, but to God more specifically. Now, I know that Moses was not raised with his parents. I know that. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. But I will say this, we are raised with our parents. And as parents, we need to be someone who submits to God. You remember Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, they had faith and they did not fear the commandment of the king. Hebrews 11:23. They feared God. And as parents, we need to be God-fearing parents, and we need to teach and train our children to have a humble, submissive attitude to God. Listen, they're not going to get it at school. They're not going to get it in the community. They're not going to get it on TikTok. They're not going to get it on their phone. They're going to get it from you and me as a parent. We have to train and teach our children to be humbly submissive to God. What they're going to get from their culture is you assert yourself and prove yourself, and you do this and you do that. As parents, we need to raise our children the right way. And had Moses stayed with his mom and dad, I believe that they would have trained him in the right way. So we do stay with our parents generally. And as parents, we need to raise our children to learn meekness. But turn with me now to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Are we learning meekness from Jesus and God's word? We are to come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, submissive to God's will. Jesus was all that, all from the very beginning of his life to the end. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. Do we have our Bibles open? Are we doing daily Bible reading? Are we at Bible class? Are we learning the things that we need to be learning? You're not going to get this from culture. You're going to get it from Jesus and God's Word. And when you turn over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23, meekness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Are we following after the Spirit? If you back up earlier in that context, Paul says, do not walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Follow the words of the Holy Spirit. In our culture, it is walk after the flesh. Do what you want. Live any way you want. Get up each day and live how you feel. No, Paul says, follow the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says, we need to be bearing the fruits of the Spirit. That is one of those Bible passages, I believe, Galatians 5:22 and 23, that would be good to hang on the refrigerator and ask ourselves, are these qualities in my life each and every day? So I need to be learning meekness. You can't buy it at the store, brethren. You can't buy it at the store. You can't go to Walmart and pick up some meekness. We've got to be having God's Word in our lives and learning how to humbly submit to God each and every day. Moses learned that in Pharaoh's court and in the land of Midian as a shepherd, and he used that all throughout his life. And so, let us be teaching and training that. I've mentioned the young women and the girls this morning. It's the young men as well. You can see in our culture where they're being taught as well. Assert yourself. Somebody mouths off to you. You punch them in the face. We've had a shooting recently in Clarksville. If you haven't heard about that, we've had a recent shooting. Some young men, okay, what are they doing? Well, we're getting in a fight and we're getting upset and somebody shot somebody. That's what we're being taught today. You don't let anybody mouth off to you. You either punch them or shoot them or something. And this attitude of meek and mild. Look at that slide that I had earlier. Mildness, gentleness, that's not being taught today. That doesn't mean you're a pushover. That's what our lesson is about this morning. We're not going to be a pushover spiritually. We're not going to be a spiritual lightweight. But we're mild and gentle, even in the face of anything that comes up. And so we see that in our culture, this assertiveness that is being taught in so many ways. So, it's so important to learn meekness. If we have trouble with that, learn it, practice it, observe it, get it in our life, because this mild and gentle disposition in our marriages, parenting and children, families, out at work, school, other places, it will serve us well, because when it comes to God, we will have a mild and gentle spirit. We won't be shaking our fist at God. When He tells us something in His Word, from becoming a Christian and being baptized into Christ and everything after that, we will have this mild, gentle disposition. Whatever You would have for me, Lord, that will I do. We need to look at ourselves if we've not obeyed the gospel yet. Maybe that's a little bit of our problem. Maybe our problem is a little bit of assertiveness. I don't need God right now. I don't need the gospel right now. I'm doing pretty good. Maybe we need more of a mild and gentle disposition. But on Tuesday evening, the young people were learning about meekness in submission to God's will for his life of service. So when Moses is in the land of Midian and he meets the Lord in the burning bush, and the Lord says, I want you to come and I want you to be a life of service. I want you to come lead my people out of Egypt. And one of the first things that Moses does there in chapter 3 and 4 is start offering up these excuses. Well, I can't do it for this reason, and I can't do it for that reason. And Moses is having to continue to learn to be submissive to the will of God. We have to learn to accept a life of service. And that's a tall order. But Moses had to learn to do that. He had to learn to overcome doubt and fear. Well, who will I say sent me? And they won't believe me. And I'm not a good speaker. And all those kinds of things. And then you turn to Exodus chapter 4. He hadn't even circumcised one of his sons yet. And his wife had to do that. He had to learn to be submissive in his own personal family life. We cannot lead others if we're not following God's word ourselves. If our marriage has a problem, if our family has a problem, we need to get that intact and right before we can help and lead others. And so, Moses, in preparing his life to be a servant, had to exercise meekness there as well. God was so angry with Moses that he was going to kill him. Kill him now for not circumcising his son. Brethren, are we meekly submitting to God's will for our life? Are we willing to say, Lord, give me a life of service? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. This was quoted some this past week. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want us to dig down and drill down just a little bit on this passage. It came up some in our VBS. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you know that this is a direct quotation from Psalm 37? Jesus is directly quoting Psalm 37. Now turn back with me to Psalm 37, and I want us to understand what this means to inherit the earth. If I'm meek, I'm going to inherit the earth. What does this mean? Well, let's turn back and let's begin reading in Psalm 37. I don't have time this morning to develop all of this, but I would encourage you to read this whole psalm. This statement, inherit the land or inherit the earth, actually shows up 6 times in this psalm. And let's notice how this psalm begins. What does this mean? The meek shall inherit the earth. Listen, this is what it means. When I humbly trust God and depend upon God, He's going to allow me to experience the blessings that He wants for me in this life. Inherit the earth does not mean you're going to get property. Inherit the earth does not mean that you're going to get a larger plot of land, or at some point in your life you're going to own a large piece of property. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Read the chapter. It has to do with, if you will start by trusting in me and putting your dependence upon me, anything that happens to you in life, I'm going to bless you and watch over you and help you. You have to read the whole chapter to get that flow. But I just want to read the first few verses. And for those who worry all the time, for those who are troubled all the time and stressed and doubting and fearful, look at the very first verse. There's a big problem in our country today with worry and doubt and anxiety and all of that. Look at the very first verse. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut off like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Dwell in the land. This is the first time of 6 times where we have this in the land or inherit the earth. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in Jehovah, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto Jehovah. Trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah. Wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself. That's the second time. Because of him who prospers in the way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. Third time. Tendeth only to evil doing. For evildoers shall be cut off. Look at it. But those who wait for Jehovah, they shall inherit the land. And it's verse 11 that Jesus actually quotes. The meek shall inherit the land, and they shall delight themselves, look at it, in the abundance of peace. The statement does not mean you're going to get a bunch of property. It means you're going to have a peaceful life, and you're going to get all of the blessings that God has for you in this life. We've got to submit meekly to God's will. So turn with me to James chapter 1. When God is speaking to me, I need to open up my heart and life to Him. James says in James chapter 1, put away all filthiness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. When God came to Moses in the burning bush and said, this is what I wanted to do, want you to do, he meekly accepted that, and he had to learn not to offer up excuses. So when we open up our Bible, let us meekly receive the implanted word, the word that is going on right now in this message, and the word that goes on when you read your Bible. Open up our heart to meekly receive it, not assertively rebel against it. But read Psalm 37. fret not yourselves. 3 times. When we trust in the Lord, He will cause us to inherit the land. What does that mean? To live a peaceful and blessed life. That's the context of Psalm 37. On Wednesday evening, our young people were studying Moses' meekness in meeting the challenges that it would take. And this was based upon Exodus chapter 5 through 15, the challenges that it would take to lead Israel out of Egypt. Now, brethren, we're getting into the part of the lesson. From here to the end of the lesson, this is the part where meekness has to be in our life during difficult times. There will be difficult times. There's going to be challenges. We're going to see in just a minute there's going to be confrontation of sin. There's going to be punishment. And so, yes, we need to humbly submit to the will of God in good times, but there's going to be some difficult and challenging times. We have to submit during those times. And when Moses starts in on this venture, in Exodus chapter 5, Pharaoh immediately resists him, and even the Israelites, when their burden is doubled and they have to go out and get their own straw and all of that, even the Israelites turn on him. And from that point all the way through the 10 plagues and going out of Egypt, look at Moses. We don't find him lashing out at God. We don't find him rebelling. We don't find him quitting. This man shows courage from the very beginning. He shows trust in God. After each of the plagues, Pharaoh is saying no, and Moses goes back to God and says, give him another one. Hit him again. And Pharaoh rejects, hit him again. What do you find in this man? Once he learns humble submission to God, these great challenges of life are not going to shake him. And brethren, the sooner we learn humble submission, we can take that with us when things in marriage get bad, when things in family or at work or at other places. And in our scripture reading, in Numbers chapter 12, it was God who said, He is faithful in all my house. This is what the Hebrew writer picks up on in chapter 3 and verse 5. He had the vision to see it through. Let's get the job done. And when they cross the Red Sea and you look at Exodus chapter 15, they stop and Moses and the Israelites sing a song, thanking God and praising God for the deliverance. The lesson didn't even cover the book of Numbers with all of the challenges there. But that's a part of the process too. When you say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done, then you're going to do that even through the challenges. And the same is true for us today. Let's look at a few of those things. Let's look at how meekness is used in the New Testament. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes in the local congregation, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be division. I want to talk about that tonight, Lord willing. We've got to remain unified in the local congregation, and we need to have lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. Sometimes in the local congregation, which this is the setting, you'll have differences of opinion, and you have different personalities, and you have different members wanting different things, and we've got to exercise lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, and forbearing one another. Or you just divide, boom, like that. Just break up and divide. And that's what the devil wants. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Consider the challenges that are mentioned here. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. The challenge might be, well, I was wronged, or I wronged someone else, or they wronged me. That might be the challenge. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you also, so do you. It's in the context of a challenge. Well, he wronged me, that's it, that's the end of that. Or she wronged me, that's the end of that. How many times, start with Exodus 5 and go all the way through the end of the book of Deuteronomy, how many times was Moses wronged? We couldn't even begin to discuss those things this morning. All of them. And yet he just humbly submits each time. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. You see, brethren, the things that our young people were learning this past week are not, it's not just some Old Testament story. We're to have this same meekness in our lives today and in the same exact same ways as Moses. Titus 3, verse 2, speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, but to be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. Now that's a hard one. At work? Really, Paul? You mean at work? Yes. You mean at school? Yes. You mean in the local church? Yes. It's in the context of challenges, speaking evil of no man and not being contentious. So there will be challenges along the way, but we have to humbly submit to God's word and will. Let's look at another one. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes in marriage there are challenges. And here's an example where a woman is a Christian and her husband is not a Christian. I know of some situations like that. I have one in mind right now. That happens a lot in the local church. You'll have a woman who's a Christian and the husband is not. And that's the case here. How is she supposed to act? So you've got this woman, verse 1, be in subjection to your own husbands, even if any obey not the word. Here's a husband who hadn't become a Christian yet. They may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. Well, what behavior, Peter? Beholding your chaste or holy behavior coupled with fear, respect toward God, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of the hair or the wearing of jewels of gold or putting on of apparel, but of the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's what's going to win the unbelieving husband over, verse 1. That's what's going to win him over. So there's a challenge there. And there are situations in marriage where there are challenges. The meek and quiet spirit is what we are supposed to have. And then turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 in the same chapter. There is the challenge of Christians being persecuted. Look at verse 13. Who is he that will harm you? These Christians were being... 1 Peter has the idea of suffering in every chapter. Christians suffering. And when someone comes and asks you for the reason of the hope that is within you, be ready to give an answer to every man who asks a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. This is a stressful time. You are suffering. Some people are harming you. They're coming to you asking for this reason of hope. When you do it with meekness and fear and reverence toward God. Be a very stressful, challenging time for New Testament Christians. But they do these things and they carry out these things with meekness and fear. Brethren, when challenges come up, local church, marriage, family, any situation, just with a meek and quiet spirit, endure those things and you'll be rewarded. It's not a time to lash out, to break down and lose it, to assert yourself to this or to that. I'll see that today, where people will excuse behavior. Well, he just lost it. That's the whole point. Don't lose it. Control ourselves. Remember the very first slide, strength under control. You can take a horse that is very powerful and put a bit in its mouth and can keep that power under control. That's what we're supposed to do even in challenging times. On Thursday evening, we studied how that Moses was meek during the confrontation. The example that was highlighted was Exodus chapter 32 and the building of the golden calf there by his own brother had allowed the people, let them loose for a derision among the people. He was not exercising good leadership. So Moses comes down the mountain with Joshua and Joshua says to Moses, there's noise in the camp. There's some activity going on down there. What is that? It's as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, when he looked back on that story, he said that they rose up to play. They sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. There was an idolatrous party going on. Did Moses just say, okay, I quit? No, he exercised meekness. He was angry, righteous indignation. He broke the Ten Commandments. Literally. He rebuked them. He called for punishment. He drew a line in the sand, so to speak, and everyone that is on the Lord's side, you come over here. What's amazing about it is he also interceded for those that were left. Brethren, meekness does not mean you overlook sin. Meekness does not mean you overlook error and sin and wickedness and evil doing and wrongdoing. It doesn't mean that. There are going to be times in our life where we have to confront sin and evil and error. And what a beautiful picture we find here of Moses. If we're exercising meekness properly, we're going to exercise it even when it comes time to confront sin. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 5, when Jesus came into the Jerusalem on the last week before going to the cross. How is he described? He's riding on that colt of an ass. What were the people saying? Tell you the daughter of Zion, Matthew 21, 5, behold, the king comes, meek and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Was Jesus meek? Yes. What did he do shortly after this? He makes a scourge of cords and he cleanses the temple. Meekness does not mean, brethren, that you're a spiritual pushover as a parent or an elder or a preacher or someone else. You just turn a blind eye towards sin because I'm meek. No, your meekness, in fact, means I'm going to submit to God's will and I need to address sin and error. You just come down a few verses in verse 12 and 13, you'll see that scathing rebuke. And later in the week, he comes down hard the next day on Tuesday. In Matthew 23, he comes down really hard on the scribes and Pharisees. Woe unto you hypocrites. But he's meek. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 21. Paul was writing the book of 1 Corinthians and he wrote 2 Corinthians and he's trying to help this local church that has several problems. And he wants to write in such a way that they will correct their behavior. He doesn't want to come and be firm with them. Parents, there's times when you've got to be absolutely firm with your children. And Paul said, I really want you to do what the Lord is saying through me. I don't want to come in a firm way. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and the spirit of gentleness? That's the word meekness. Paul was meek. We're going to see that in the next passage. He was meek. But if he needed to come with a rod, he would do it. That's how serious it was. He loved them. If you back up to chapter 4 and verse 15, I begat you through the gospel. I love you guys. I was there in Acts 18. I begat you through the gospel. I don't want you to be lost because of this division and other things that were going on there. Please correct these things. I don't want to come with a rod. Paul was meek, just like Jesus was meek, but he wasn't going to forego confronting sin and error. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he writes a few months after 1 Corinthians. They've actually done good. They've made some changes in some areas of their life, but they've got some other things going on that they need to fix. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:1, "Now I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Paul was meek. But if you come down to verse 3, well, let me just keep reading. In the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am in your presence am lowly among you, but being absent am of good courage toward you. He wanted them to change. Yea, I beseech you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence wherewith I count to be bold against some. When I get there, if I have to, I will be bold. And if you keep reading verse 3, 4, and 5, he was taking the word of God and he was casting down all of these things that are exalted against God. He was warring the good warfare, the spiritual warfare. Paul was meek, verse 1, but he could be bold and strong if he had to. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Being meek does not mean that we are pushovers. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul writes to Timothy, by the way, Paul, a meek man, writing to Timothy about meekness, but you, O man of God, flee these things. He had just been talking about the love of money being a root of all kinds of evil. Flee, stay away from that. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience, meekness. But then read the very next verse. Fight the good fight of the faith. Today, the devil wants you to just keep your mouth shut about sin and error and false teaching. No, the preacher's supposed to do that, or somebody else is supposed to do that, not me. No, all of us are to fight the good fight of the faith and take our Bible and open it up and point out what wrong is going on. Jesus came in meek and lowly, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass. And he's a king. He's not coming in on this big white steed like the Roman emperors were. It's this little old donkey, a symbol of service. And then he just runs everybody out of the temple. Get out of here. You've made it a den of robbers. Whoa. I thought Jesus was meek. Yeah, he is. Because meekness and confrontation go together. They're not separate. And then last of all, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've been in this position before. Maybe you've been in this position before. I've told you before that at least once a year I try to read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus just for myself to remind me as a gospel preacher how to act. Here's a passage. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the Lord's servant must not strive. It's not about physically fighting somebody. But be gentle towards all. Not some, but all. Able to teach, forbearing. Now look at this. In meekness, correcting them that oppose themselves. if peradventure God may give them repentance unto the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him unto his will. We approach people and correct them with meekness. So, meekness has its place in confronting and correcting sin. And then last of all, on Friday evening, we studied, and the young people studied, how that Moses exercised meekness in accepting the Lord's punishment for his sin. Right after he struck the rock, instead of speaking to it, in Numbers chapter 20, the very next verse, God tells him, "You will not be able to go into the land of Canaan." And from that point onward, Moses humbly accepts, is submissive to the will of God, that punishment. We do not find him offering up excuses for his sin. He's not blaming others. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't call it unjust and unfair. "Wait a minute, I've been doing all this work, and I just slipped up this one time, and Lord, this is unfair." We don't find him doing any of that. In fact, if you read three times in the book of Deuteronomy when he's preaching these sermons on the plains of Moab, he mentions it three times. "The Lord was angry with me." Three times. He doesn't say, "The Lord was angry with me, but you got to understand." He doesn't say that. He says, "The Lord was angry with me, and I cannot go into the land of Canaan." Sometimes today, you'll see this in news conferences, and you'll see this when somebody is, you know, being taken to trial or some high profile situation. They'll say, "Yeah, I did such and such, but..." Moses is not doing any of that. He humbly accepted his punishment. And you don't find him in Deuteronomy chapter 32 when it came time for him to die, trying to run into the land of Canaan. I want to see if I can beat the Lord at his game and get on in there. No. And brethren, even when we find that we have violated the word of God, which Moses did, we need to humbly accept what the word of God says about that. And I'll close with this. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, and the lesson will be yours. I need to humbly accept what God says. Not this blame others, like it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. "Well, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it." And then she said, "Well, the devil made me do it." There's always this blame game, or "This is unfair." When God's word says such and such, and you violate that, accept it. Humbly accept it. And repent and confess and come back to the Lord, and he'll forgive you. Now I know that Galatians 6:1, it's a little different. Galatians 6:1 is not talking about the one who's receiving the punishment. Galatians 6:1 is talking about the one who goes to the one who is in sin. But I want you to notice how that meekness is tied to this situation where someone has done wrong. "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit..." My version says gentleness, but it's the same word, meekness. "Looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted." Meekness in going to a person and helping them to get out of their sin. Also, meekness is going to help me from maybe getting into that same sin. But just humbly accepting the word of God when it comes time to correcting sin. Moses really is amazing to me on that matter. Especially when you get to the book of Deuteronomy. You don't find him whining and complaining and inserting his little caveats. "Well, the Lord was angry with me, but..." And he doesn't do that. And that punishment, after all the work that Moses had done, no doubt probably seemed great to Moses. but he accepted that. So in Galatians 6:1, when there is a trespass among our brethren, let's exercise meekness. Whether we're the ones going to the person or whether we're the ones being confronted. And with that, it'll all come out good. Everyone will stand right when the matter is over with, because we will do only what God wants us to do. And that sin will be removed if we act according to His will. Brethren, the meekness of Moses is not just for Moses, it's for us. And we've gone through those passages in the New Testament that speak to meekness. And I find it interesting that they all fall into those same five lessons in the life of Moses. There may be someone here this morning that you need to show your meekness by coming and submitting to Christ in baptism. We would encourage you to do that. If there's a child of God that's erred in some way, you can exercise your meekness by humbly coming back and asking for the prayers of the saints. As we leave this morning, you're going out into a community that is teaching assertiveness. You ignore all of that. Young ladies, ignore all of that. And be mild and gentle, a meek and quiet spirit, and always, always humbly submit to the will of God. If we can help you to do that this morning, why won't you come as we stand and sing?